Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Zoom back next week. The Zoom presentation will be back from next Sunday, and we'll use the same meeting code and password as before. Recordings will continue to be available on the website. Kirk Session, there'll be a special meeting Kirk Session on Tuesday the 1st of August at 7 p.m. Is that not 7:30? No, 7 p.m. Attendance of all available elders is requested. A further meeting in the week, the 15th of August, may follow. Eternity Discussion Group. Our discussion group will begin its next series of meetings on Tuesday, 22nd of August at 7 p.m. in the Irene Patterson Room. Meeting fortnightly thereafter. We'll be looking at the Old Testament books of Jonah, Joel and Amos, using a Life Builder study resource. All welcome. Contact Derek for information. Then we have a family cinema afternoon and summer barbecue. We're holding a family film show followed by barbecue on Thursday the 10th of August at 3 p.m. The film is Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, and the entry is free with a suggested donation of £3 for the film. A suggested donation of £2 for the burgers and hot dogs. There will be tea and coffee and juice available. You can register to attend via the church's Facebook account or contact George White. Looking forward to seeing you there. This is for families. Children unfortunately cannot come unaccompanied, and it's booking through Eventbrite. But people can get information about that if they ask any of the elders. Next, a quick look at the order of service. Thank you.
Let's sing to God's praise and glory in hymn number 96, You Are Before Me, God, You Are Behind, which of course is Psalm 139.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive the gifts we offer. We ask your blessing upon our giving. Use our gifts to your glory and in the service of your church. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now Marian is going to be leading us in our prayers. And as she comes up to lead us in prayer, this is an opportunity for me to say a big thank you to everybody who was involved in worship while I was away on holiday. One of the services that was at the church I was attending, they described the service in a particular way, and I think it might be a good idea for us to steal what they did. Because rather than saying it was elder-led or congregation-led, they described it as a service of all the talents. And I thought, what a good title to use. So I might suggest to worship folk, we'll steal that in the future. Marian.
Thank you. Our Lord Jesus taught us to pray in the words that we now call the Lord's Prayer. And I've taken inspiration from that this morning, so I'm going to use that and expand it a wee bit. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Almighty and ever-living God, we worship you, who set the stars in space and designed primroses for a mossy bank. You inhabit glory unimaginable, and yet you desire to live in our hearts. We respond with love and praise. You alone are worthy to be worshipped, honoured and adored. We worship you. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Lord, we commit ourselves to build on the foundations of faith and hope and love, and to serve you all our days, to love our neighbour, and to declare the love of Christ in ways and words, that all may hear and know you as Lord. Give us today our daily bread. We thank you, God, for all your good gifts, for your care for all your creatures, and for your guidance, for all those who have built up the world we inhabit and who have made life richer, for the help given us by parents and friends, teachers and leaders who have taught us the way of glad and willing service, for our life today, for laughter and good fellowship, for health and strength, and the opportunity to use them to help others. Help us remember that you are the living bread and all the sustenance we need. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Father, forgive us for the grudges we bear against each other and the angry thoughts within, and the aggressive words we use. Forgive us that we think so well of ourselves and so badly of other people. Forgive us that we are often filled with negative thoughts and attitudes. Forgive us that we can use words of faith so easily, but find it extremely hard to live them out. Forgive us most of all where we are unforgiving. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. Lord, we depend on your mercy and trust in your love to overcome all that is evil within and without. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Returning from holiday, there are always questions that are asked. Probably the first one is, where were you? And some of us will have been abroad, some of us will have holidayed at home, and some will have stayed in this country. I was not very far away, just over the border into the borders, so that I would feel okay. But it was a strange bit of the borders because it was nowhere near Gala. And in fact, I found myself standing talking to somebody from Hoek, which is really quite miraculous. Just about. The second question, because we are British, what was the weather like? And then there is that question that is phrased in a number of ways, but it usually goes along the lines of, are you quite rested after your holiday? Well, I enjoyed the pleasure of my grandsons at the end of my holiday. So I'm not entirely sure how to answer that question. Trying to keep up with a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old takes a fair bit of energy. Maybe the answer is a change is as good as a rest, as they say, perhaps. With the boys, we went down to the park in the caravan park we were staying in with a ball. And I've got to say, I've never been a runner, and even as a teenager, I was hopeless at football. So we were playing, and other children were there, and very polite, actually. Can we join in? And of course, the answer was yes. And because I'd taken the boys down, I was the only adult in the park having to run around. And I made the excuse for being out of breath that it was to do with my age. Well, children being children, this child said, so what age are you? And I did the usual, well, what age do you think I am? And the answer to that was, I think you might be as old as 35. My response was, if only. And then it struck me that for this child, 35 was ancient. So if I told them my true age, I must be something prehistoric. Speaking to adults, a very popular saying is, you're only as old as you feel. And my answer to that is that it can very much depend on the day in that case. We know how old we are because people remind us on our birthdays and we can count. We have time, whether it be minutes, hours, days, or years, or decades for that matter, and we understand it in a very precise way. But in complete contradiction to that, how we feel about time is very, very different. One of my friends is busy organising a reunion of the Galashiel St John's Church Youth Fellowship. I can hardly believe that my youth fellowship days are now 50 years in the past. This, of course, is just one of the contradictions that we have in life. I find it hard to believe that 50 years have gone by, and yet when I look back at that world of 50 years ago, it does seem a long time in the past. There are all sorts of contradictions built into humanity. And maybe one of the greatest of these, and I'm sure that we are very aware of it as we read or watch the news, that capacity within humanity for great good, doing amazing things, and yet also great evil, and our inhumanity towards each other. Over the summer, there's been a fair bit about fears over AI, artificial intelligence. If we put aside some of the more science fiction-y fears about AI taking over the world, an awful lot of the debate has been to do with that contradiction within humanity. And it is a contradiction and a discussion and an argument that is as old as humanity is itself. Our distant ancestors chose tools of the time for great good and for great evil. The stone tools that helped in the beginnings of agriculture and for those hunter-gatherers before agriculture were also used to make spearheads, and we have evidence of people having been killed. As we developed metals, yes, there were plowshares, but there were also swords. On a personal level, each one of us is aware of our own internal contradictions. We know that there is good and bad within us. I know that one of my big questions about myself personally is, why is it so hard to keep a good habit and so easy to keep a bad habit? Back in my youth fellowship days, as I was thinking through what it meant to be Christian, like many teenagers, I was looking for something in Christianity that was absolutely clear. I wanted it to be black, as different as black and white, that things were definitely one thing or another, good or bad. I did not want a faith with grey areas. And that is very much the mindset of those who are young. How many of us, through our experience of life, have, and learning more about God and faith, have found that there are grey areas, that life is not necessarily easy. And maybe that strange contradiction, that we actually learn more about ourselves, more about God, more about faith, through our troubles and where we have failed, than through good times and when we have succeeded. The story of the Bible is of God embracing humanity in all our contradictions. The Bible is very honest about who and what we are. So maybe just have that in mind as we look at what is the very end of the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament and some words written by Paul to the church in Rome as we read from Romans. And I think it's Alison who's reading. I mean, she did say just before the service, but, you know, somebody said, you know, maybe I am getting to that point where I'm getting forgetful.
Mm-hmm.
Alison.
Yes, thank you. The reading this morning is from Ecclesiastes 12, verses 9 to 14. And it's entitled, "The Conclusion of the Matter." Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails, given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment. including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. And then we read from Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. Peace and joy. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only in this, so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
Hymn number 158, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. I thought, as I began to write the actual service, not just the order of service, but as I sat down to write what I was going to say, I thought I would begin this sermon with the dictionary definition of the word contradiction. I realised then that a mere 20 years ago, I would probably have gone to the shelves in my study and pulled out a dictionary. and I would have typed out what was written there. Now, I simply typed in the words, dictionary definition of contradiction, into Google. And lots of results came up. It is interesting to know that next month will be the 25th anniversary of the official launch of Google. For a very short time, we've been using this search engine, and I suppose I'm meant to say other search engines are available. But it's actually come into the language. It's just there. So in that list of options on my computer screen, the first three, I think, were to do with dictionaries that we would recognise and are probably sitting on our shelves at home if we have a dictionary. Beyond that, there were all sorts of other things, and that's because of the computer technology that we work with. If you look at something, you will find that it immediately pops up in all sorts of things, like you go to Facebook, and because you happen to have wanted to look at a particular book, there'll be something about books and Facebook, because all of these things are gathering information and putting together what they think you might want to look at. Now, it'll come as no surprise that a huge number of the things then listed under dictionaries were to do with faith, God, Christianity, and so on, because I look at these things a lot. And there in that list were quite a number of sites that offered to list for me the contradictions to be found in the Bible. I resisted the temptation to go and look at a whole load of nonsense, because one of the things that we find is that there is an awful lot of rubbish on the internet. And I'm quite sure that you will have come across those moments where you are told not to confuse a Google search with the expertise and knowledge of someone who happens to be an expert in something. I know that a number of doctor's surgeries have a poster like that up. You have to be very careful in the use of the internet. It is another example of human invention that can be a wonderful instrument for research and finding things, and yet it is also used to give false result, to confuse and to mislead. But that list of websites made me pause and think. So instead of going and looking for a dictionary definition, I began to wonder about that question that I'd put as the title for today, those contradictions of faith. There is no doubt that the Bible is honest about the contradictory nature of humanity. I think we are all aware of the great contradictions of faith, that God should love and care for creatures like us, like humanity. If we watch the news, you can sometimes think, why would God put up with us? We are aware of that great contradiction at the heart of our faith, that is, that sin and evil are defeated not by the strength of God, but in weakness. The symbol of our faith is a cross. Sin and death are defeated by weakness. Our victory in life come from something that is unimaginable. It's a contradiction. But of course, what was being offered in lots of those websites was to list the internal contradictions that are there in the Bible. And I've often thought, you know, this is people looking for errors. And then it struck me that the Bible is not a law book with an internal logic. It's actually a book about relationship. Living relationships are almost naturally contradictory. That living relationship between God and us has so many internal contradictions. I remember one lecturer at New College beginning to talk about one of the letters of Paul, and I can't remember which one. But he said, at the heart of this letter is the righteous judge declares the innocent, the guilty innocent. It is one of the contradictions that we live with, that God will forgive. No matter how often we need to be forgiven, God will forgive. Part of our human condition is a desire to know what the rules are. You know, how are we meant to do this? What, you know, give us it exactly. It's not just teenagers that want things in black and white. We as adults are much the same. And just to show that we are contradictory creatures, once we know what the rules are, we immediately try to find ways around them. The great excuse in our day, of course, is that no law was broken. Because once you've got it in black and white, whether you think the thing is right or wrong, if you haven't broken a law, you're okay. So say the great and the good. We want things defined. And then we go against that definition. We sometimes want our faith to be like that, and that's very often what is described as religion. Religion is a series of rules or demands that make us right with God. And that is our natural way of thinking. How do I make myself right with God? You know, it's the internal toddler. I can remember one of my children, not sure which one, but it was very clear when I wanted to help, I do it myself. Now, I've still got an internal toddler, because when I'm doing something and I need help and someone offers to help, there is I do it myself. And do I come to grief? Yes, I do. And when we can't keep things, our natural way of thinking, and this is, you'll find this said many times by people who have only a vague idea that, you know, that God and faith are something. They want to be in heaven, and of course, the way you get to heaven is it's this big kind of set of scales. And if you've done more good than bad, you're in. If you've done more bad than good, it's hell. There's a 50% pass mark. And that goes against all logic. If you think, if going home I exceed the speed limit, the police officer will not say, well, we won't give you points or a fine because most of the time you actually kept to the speed limit. Life isn't like that, but there's this kind of folk religion that makes us think it's like that, or we want to think it's like that. But if we use the Bible as a rule book, if we make it that kind of black and white and, you know, and about absolutes, history tells us that where that has been the case, the Bible has been used to justify things that are wrong. If rules could make us right, there would be no need for Jesus. And Jesus is very, very clear. He does not give us more defined rules or laws. Instead, he presents law from a very different perspective, and that is obedience to the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. It is very difficult to get round the law of love. It is very difficult to get round a rule that says treat others as you would like to be treated yourself. In a reading from Ecclesiastes, this writer, who is a very conflicted and contradictory character, who is a great man of faith, if you read right through the book of Ecclesiastes, faith shines through all of his doubts and fears and dismay at so much in life. So he concludes, this man who calls himself the teacher. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. The Bible does not shy away from judgment. There is judgment, but there is no mention of a balance between good and evil. If our faith is to do with the letter of the law, then judgment is to be feared. Sin condemns, and the result is death. What Jesus tells us is that God, our judge, loves us and wants us to be free from sin and death. Our judge is the one that Jesus tells us to call Abba, Father. This is the Father who longs to embrace and forgive and restore. We are those whom Paul describes as justified by faith and having peace with God through Christ. We are at peace with God because of God's loving action. It's not a place where we have earned anything. Anything that we do in faith is in response to God's love. It comes from our living relationship with God through Christ. As the people of God, we live to the glory of God. Now, Paul and Jesus were speaking in a time when it was assumed that if bad things happened, that was God's punishment. You must have done something wrong. That was the clear understanding of the time. In contradiction, of course, Jesus presents God in a very different way. And Paul, in his letter to the Romans, puts the contradictions of life in a way that the things that cause our suffering, and I'll admit a good bit of my suffering comes from the things that I do wrong, but suffering brings something else. Not just the suffering that comes from people saying your faith is a nonsense and a society that denigrates God and faith and so on. It's about suffering. It brings perseverance. Perseverance brings character, and character brings hope. Paul says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. At times I wish I was living in easier times for church and for faith in Scotland. At times I find myself asking what God is doing And really what I'm asking, what are you doing, God, to make my life easier? We are not people who are living with a vague hope that everything will work out. In faith, we are those who persevere because our hope is in God. As I always do, I put a little quotation underneath the title of the sermon. And as I was writing towards the end, I thought, oh, right, that's why I chose that, is it? We cannot get anywhere without hope, and yet we cannot get anywhere on hope alone. We are to persevere. During my holiday, I took my daughter and grandson to Dunbar because they wanted to do the park run. And I watched my grandson running. He runs with absolute perseverance. He's quite disappointed when he doesn't get a personal best. He's quite a competitive little guy. And when I saw him run, you know, it didn't matter what it was going to take. He was running. And then I thought about, and I'm sure you have seen these folk, that you wonder why they go jogging. They bounce up and down. They could walk faster. It doesn't seem to perform any function at all, least of all getting them fit. I suppose at least they're out in the fresh air. We are not to be aimless joggers. We are those who are looking for a personal best. Because we have hope in God. We are children of the living God. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We have been called, we have been entrusted with God's love for the people around us and for the world of which we are part. It is an enormous contradiction that God would choose somebody like me, because I don't have a very high opinion of me. I know I'm capable of a lot better, and yet I fail so often, and yet God persists in trusting. When you look in the mirror, you're looking at a person that God trusts absolutely. That is our hope. So go and run the race. And in the difficulties and contradictions, find strength. We're going to sing a prayer. It's one that we know very well. And I chose it quite obviously because it has a lot of contradictions, presents the contradictions of living out our faith. As we live out God's peace, make me a channel of your peace, hymn 528. And now our prayers for others. And Marian is leading us.
Let us pray. O God, you are the strength of the weak, the refuge of the distressed, the comforter of the sad, and the lover of our souls. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to help all those in need, the homeless, the victims of violence, both domestic and global, those scarred by the wounds that life has inflicted upon them, the lonely, the depressed, those affected by war and conflict, the bereaved, those suffering illness in body or mind, those struggling to survive in the current economic crisis. We bring them all to you in faith, trusting in your grace and mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen.
Our closing worship, hymn number 500, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise. Your heart to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.